The podcast you're about to listen to contains horribly offensive language, crude humor, and countless spoilers for things we guarantee haven't been spoiled for you yet. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello.
You know, I don't know what your problem is at this point. We're only in week one.
I'm never doing this again. We are going to see this fall 2014 season through. And then at least I am never doing another thing like this. It's too much anime.
No, it's not.
We did this so I could mock the art. But too much mockery isn't good for people.
You're also liking more than you thought.
I'm liking about as much as I thought I would.
Yeah.
What's our next show?
Our next show is seated at the awesome point of slot 25.
And it is called?
Doten Noiro.
And this is the Meiji era real world Japan one. And I'm certain since it's in the real world, there will be demons.
Doesn't sound like it from the description.
Oh, well. Let's put this shit on.
Meanwhile, in the future.
So, that was Doten Noiro, or as I would like to call it, Oh God, I'm Bored.
This was the story of the Kumo brothers, Tenka, Sora, and Chutaro.
I was going to go Sora, Ten.
Oh, of course you know Sora. Or Sora Maru, as his full name was.
Yeah.
And it seems to be a Meiji era drama about this family of well-respected brothers, and they help the local police and go about their daily life while also rounding up the criminals that want to reform Japan and make it like it used to be. Instead of this uncertain new future, it's a now. In other words, it is like a billion, zillion, million other animes before it. And that's ultimately what I feel, that I've seen this before. There's nothing terribly bad about it. It's just I don't know how much I am intrigued. You said, however, that you were bored.
I was. Again, it falls into that category of I've been here, I've seen this, the tropes that are playing here of the middle brother not thinking lives up to the older brother's thing, the parents being dead. Come on.
It is very samey. It definitely is. That can't be ignored. But I also can't ignore that it wasn't terribly bad. Nothing about it.
It was average.
Nothing about it made me cringe, and that's exactly how I feel. I like I told you before, my scale starts at 5 out of 3 pi, and I go up and down depending on where it takes me, and this show stayed there. So I would give it 5 out of 3 pi.
I've got to go lower. I mean, an average anime I can still focus on. This is kind of like, and trope number 1,218. Oh, here comes 19 over the board. Oh, yeah, 20. There we go. So I got to give this a 4. I just...
Very well, not, very well.
I mean, I can see some of the hooks that they're trying to push it in a direction, which... I think I know where it's going, but I just can't bring myself to care.
Gotcha. So I give it 5, you give it 4, we average out at 4.5.
Yeah. Not bad, just not...
It's difficult to get excited for.
There's nothing to get excited for. That's the thing. This one falls into a yellow.
Yeah, I was gonna say, well, for a moment I thought you were going to argue that it should be a red. But...
No, it's not. Again, I agree with you. It's not bad. It's just...
Keep in mind, this color is more of a, are we really going to watch more of this kind of
well,
idea.
Well, yellow is the... Maybe...
Green is definitely, red is no way, Jose.
Yeah. So. And yellow comes right down the middle with maybe it might make the cut, maybe it won't. It is... Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, I mean, I'm looking at... Grisaya no Kijutsu, and it really doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong alongside that boring one. But
we'll take a look after, because we're gonna make a, even when we're done all these first episodes, we're going to adjust based on based on our 2020 hindsight.
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's jump up to our eighth place.
Our eighth seed.
Shingeki no Bahamut Genesis.
This is the one based on that card game. That's another medieval, not really medieval, more of a Western style high concept fantasy. So let's Bahamut up this joint.
Let's get in with the CG.
All the CG dragons?
Yes.
Meanwhile, in the future.
All right, so this was Rage of Bahamut Genesis. In this one, we have two bounty hunters, Favaro and, oh fuck, what's his name? Kaisar, fighting in a ridiculous Pirates of the Caribbean-esque battle in the streets of some fantasy-ass city. Fate brings them into an encounter with this guy who summons a demon, and Favaro needs the help of a girl who asks him to take her to the north. He lied about knowing a shortcut there. This eventually leads to Favaro passing out, the demon girl kicking the shit out of the giant demon, and then when Favaro comes to, he's got a tail. And now, apparently his fate is tied with hers, one would imagine. What did you think of Rage of Bahamut?
Well, it had lots of almost near pointless action. They could have wrapped that up a little bit quicker. Comparing it to Pirates of the Caribbean 2 was definitely a good comparison because pointless.
Yeah, lots of stuff that's done more for the spectacle.
Yeah.
Like the entire intro.
And by intro, you mean the first half of the episode.
Pretty much. I recall saying about this trailer that it was a beautifully animated bunch of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I think this show is a beautifully animated bunch of nothing. How do you rate it? I don't know why you're always caught unawares with this rating. Well, it's only the thing we're basing everything on.
Yeah, I know, but I'm going to give this one just a 5. Just it's average.
5? You're being more generous than I am. I'm giving it pi. 4.07 out of 3 pi.
Excellent. So I'm just going to get up here and run.
Carlos, we have anime to watch.
Oh, no.
We have lots and lots and lots.
Oh.
We are halfway done.
No.
Halfway. No. For week one.
It's like getting kicked in the testicle over and over again by a pile driver. So next up is Kaito Joker.
Yep.
Our number sixth seed.
Six or seven.
Yep. I believe it was number six.
Six, yes.
It,
The idea behind it and the imagery made me think of King of Bandit Jing, actually.
Not a bad show, but not a stellar one either. A fun show, for sure.
It was fun, yeah.
Guy who used his owl and turned his owl into an arm cannon so he could shoot the shit out of people.
And was always doing good.
Always doing good.
So, yeah, didn't mind that at all.
Indeed. Well, hopefully he will turn a bird into his arm in this show as well. Let's dive right in to Kaito Joker. Episode 1. Of many.
Meanwhile, in the future.
Alrighty, this one was Kaito Joker. Series about this phantom thief named the Phantom Thief Joker, or Kaito Joker. He steals things, he announces in grand fashion that he's going to steal something, then he goes and does it. And he has his very own nemesis inspector that is often after him. And he just took on a new apprentice, a young ninja boy named Hachi, who observed him from afar and became enamored with Joker. And we get a lot of hijinks in his first heist here that we see on screen, wherein he reveals some of his tricks, takes the gem, gives it back to Hachi. A whole bunch of stuff happens, and really, there's not too much to say, because this is a fun little show. It reminds me of old 70s, 80s Tatsunoko style shows. I'm reminded very much of Yatterman and the like. Lots of high energy, lots of cute animation, fun, harmless, fun.
Yeah, I mean, comparing it to King of Bandit Jing is very apt in this case.
It has similarities.
With how the hijinks are, but you know what show it actually reminds me of from the 70s and 80s?
Hmm.
Of all things, the kind of fun you got from Scooby-Doo.
It is a little Scooby-Doo-ish in a way.
Just the way things all just come off and how everything was planned and...
Yeah, I can see the comparison for sure. This is obviously a very fun, serialized kind of show. And that, I think, is both its blessing and its curse. I did not hate it at all. In fact, I enjoyed it. At the same time, I don't see myself really watching past however far this makes it, really. I'm not sure if you feel the same, if you could see yourself seeing this series have some real legs and carry through for a whole season, an arc, if you will, but...
I think it really depends on what additional characters they add in, what sort of hijinks that leads to, because it's just formulaic from here on out, then it might get boring.
For sure, for sure. However, it would be unfair to condemn it now for future transgressions.
Yep.
I would give it a solid 2π+1.
I'll give it a 7.
Okay. Sounds good. Let's average that out. Mine's 7.28.
So it's 7.14.
There we go. I would have no issue giving this a green.
I definitely think it fits into the green, especially seeing as we gave series like Terraformers and World Trigger it under 7 a green.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
Just for that, we're going to Garo next.
What's that one again? Garo Hano no Kokuri?
It's the 24th.
Oh, Kokuin. Kokuri was a much better show. Let's see. Oh, the Makai Knights. Okay. And
the trailer really sucked for this, so I don't think it did.
The trailer really sucked for Gogori Kokuri-san too, and that show was a delight.
That is true. That is true.
So let's jump right into Garo. Not Mark of the Wolves. We're not going to see Terry Bogard perform a Buster Wolf to Rock Howard in this Garo.
Oh, come on. You wish we could see that.
Hey, come on, come on.
Oh, I have to download it.
Dave, are you okay?
I am.
Yes.
Bust a wolf.
Meanwhile, in the future.
All right, this one was Goro the Animation in some kind of fantasy kingdom of variant. They burn witches, not unlike we did here, because we're terrible, terrible human beings, and we thought witchcraft was anything we didn't understand. Witches, however, in this world have another role. They seal away demons. And there is a plot afoot in the kingdom, perhaps being orchestrated by the evil Mendoza! The witch, being burned, births a child who is protected by a force field. This child is saved by a Makai knight named Zoro. The child himself grows up to become, what's his fucking name? His father was Germain Louis Zoro, and he was Leon Louis Garo, the titular Garo. And they fight demons and are headed back to the kingdom to, one would imagine, root out the evil. There's also a subplot with the Prince Alfonso, who witnessed the burning in the beginning when he was a child and has grown up to look a lot like Kai from Guilty Gear. this is yet another Western-style fantasy, And if it wasn't for the fact that they were speaking Japanese because of this being a Japanese show, this could have easily been set, this could have easily been, like, acted out in English. I'm not saying it had to be, but the names were all very European. Luis, Germain, or German, as I read it first.
Yeah.
Mendoza, Alfonso, all that fun stuff. What did you think of Garo the Animation, which we had seated at our number 24 slot?
Well, it definitely was way better than I thought based on the description and the trailer.
I don't like the CG knights. They should have just drawn the fucking... They should have just drawn Garo and Zoro when they're transformed.
I find CG, when they do that these days, to be lazy.
Like, it's...
I know it takes a lot of work to do and look good, but it just comes off as lazy.
It's just obviously much lower frame rate than the rest of the animation. Yeah. Or the same, and it's just so jarring because it's CG. Looks aside, it was a pretty exciting first episode, yeah. And it told way better than the 24th seed would let us to believe.
I mean, it told a intriguing story right off the bat that got right into events that were going on instead of doing some sort of monologue to bore us. It was just, here's the situation, boom, boom, boom. We got more of the backstory from the lecher talking to the ghoul, or sorry, the demon, or the horror, as they call him in this show.
The horror.
Yeah.
Yes.
The horror. I thought that was quite a good way to introduce a character and how he is while giving us a good part of the backstory. Very nicely done.
I'm intrigued. I think things were a little slower for my taste than I wanted them to be, but certainly not to a great fault. I rated last time first, so I want to hear your 3-pi rating.
I'm going to give this one a 6.5.
Only a 6.5? That seems really low. It sounded to me... I was going to give it a 2-pi plus 1 again, and that's... I didn't sound like I was as enamored as you.
I'm enamored. The CG makes me lower it a bit. I mean, it's not as bad as, 5 to 10 years ago CG, like Lost Universe.
Real Adventures of Johnny Quest.
Real Adventures of Johnny Quest. There's still...
I wrote so much fan fiction for that.
I still have it all.
Fuck you! You delete that shit right now!
I'm posting it one of these days.
I'm posting my foot up on your face.
Anyway, I'll bring it up a little bit, I guess.
Well, I don't want you to bring it up based on my rating. I am expressing surprise. I'm not insisting you change it.
I know, but I gave the last one 7. No. Kaido Joker was, I think, better than this.
Okay.
So, yeah, 6.5 is where I'm going to stick it.
So, yeah, 7.28 and 6.5.
I'll need a calculator from this one. 6.89.
A solid rating, especially for the number 24 seed. What color do you want to give this?
I would put it solidly in the green.
Yeah, I would agree. Let's give it a green. I want to see more, ultimately.
I mean, really? It's going to be its position to lose.
Yep. It can only gain.
Well, no. If we were going to rewatch Denki Gaino Honyasen, it could only gain it being 0.
Yeah. We could stab ourselves in the liver
or
with a fork.
Or girlfriend Kairi at 0.13.
Like, I could give myself a circumcision with your X-Acto knife on my face. And I'm pretty sure that watching the show would be better.
Okay.
Let's do one more in this particular video series. Audio file series video. You pick this one.
Let's go into Natsu no Tazai.
Which one was this again? Yes, the seven deadly sins. What did we seed this?
This is number 9.
I saw some things on Twitter that make me kind of dread this one a bit.
Oh, goody. Well, then again, it's on Twitter, so I don't trust anything posted on there.
Screenshots with subtitles. Which are fairly objective, but regardless, let's watch The Seven Deadly Sins.
Meanwhile, in the future...
All right, The Seven Deadly Sins. What was the Japanese title, and where did we have this,
Nagatsu no Taizai.
And what did we
had this at point number 9.
Number 9 seed. Okay. So this is the story of a kingdom that used to rely on the seven deadly sins. Seven extraordinarily powerful knights who were, for some reason or another, expelled from the kingdom when the supposedly evil holy knights started to take over. Years later, we go to the bar of some kid who, let's face it, right from the beginning, seems like he knows more than he lets on. Mm-hmm. A series of coincidences leads the princess of the kingdom, Elizabeth, to meet this kid, and eventually he is revealed to be Meliodas, one of the seven deadly sins himself.
The leader of the seven deadly sins.
The leader, despite seeming like a little kid and having a busted sword, he is still able to... A little talking pig and a giant talking pig.
Yep.
Hawk and Hawk's mom.
Mama.
Meliodas just kicks the shit out of some guy real hardcore, levels a hill in the process with a broken sword. And then they move on to the next town because Meliodas is on his bar floating on top of Hawk's mom, is himself looking for the sins for unfinished business. And thus we are left with some ominous member of the Holy Knights looking to kill the sins once and for all. There were things I liked and things I disliked about this.
Please, I went first last time, so you...
The thing I saw on Twitter that turned me off is I saw a few screens of Meliodas just for no real reason, just grabbing Princess Elizabeth's fucking tit. Okay. And when I saw those pictures out of context, I'm like, oh, groan. Now that I see them in context, like, no, I'm not condoning the behavior in real life, obviously, but this is who he is. This is... He is a seven deadly sin, and he meant nothing by it. This is... Look, it's like I'm trying to excuse something horrible, and I'm not going to do that. This is a fantasy character, and she's a fantasy character as well. That itself didn't bug me, after all. What did bug me is that this was paced very slow. It took a long time to get to the series of events that ultimately happens after the credits roll forever and ever. Like, there were so many scenes after the quote-unquote credits. It took a while to get going, and I'm a little concerned with the way some of the animations presented that. There's going to be a lot of fan service, which I don't hate, but a lot of fan service in place of other, more meaningful shit, which I do hate. This isn't Senran Kagura, where that's kind of the point. This is yet another fantasy... kind of non-Japanese-y, but Japanese take on fantasy world type of thing, right? And it can be playful, but in certain ways being playful can be bad. And that's what I'm kind of worried about with this show. What do you think?
Well, worried, sure, but I'm not going to let what could come later affect the rating. I'm going to give it right now.
I agree.
I liked his character interaction with both Hawk, as well as even the customers in the bar. I thought it was actually quite... You say it was slow, but I actually liked how what they were doing actually gave me greater insight into what was kind of going on there. I mean, they could have gotten rid of the whole he cooks bad... food on the floor, and then Hawk comes and eats it. But it also gave us a little bit of idea of interaction between him and Hawk, how much Hawk's willing to put up with, but yet what he has to do for Hawk and on the other side. Also, I think is going to give us an idea of how he works with customers as he goes from place to place. I groan all of a sudden they jump 10 years because... if you're going to jump 10 years, I think it almost has to be, you have to actually give us a decent amount of information, not just a whole bunch of bloody bodies and the kid. But having the kid come there as a knight who still wants to be a holy knight kind of took that away from me, so I had to...
Wasn't he the same guy at the end? That's what I took away from.
No. The kid at the beginning, who was so shocked at all those bodies, was the young knight in the middle who came to the door.
Oh.
The blonde-haired guy. That pink-haired dude at the end there who,
Mendoza?
No, not Mendoza. Seems to be somebody we haven't even heard of so far. He's new. So, I liked what was going on there. I cringed at him molesting her when she was asleep. And you talk about fan service, but let's face it, her outfit was pure fan service.
It was. And here's the thing. The perverted part of me is like, giddy up. And the rational, reasonable, feminist side of me is like, you pervert, Carlos.
However,
keep in mind, again, this is a fantasy universe. Here's the thing. He's like, this is a personality. Meliodas is like, oh, nice lady. She smells like a girl. Her tit feels nice. And then she wakes up and looks right at him, and he keeps squeezing, like, looking at her like, as awful as the sounds, that is badass. It's like, still, excuse me, I was busy here.
At first I was growing, and then it's like, okay, fine, whatever. It went from being really creepy to when her reaction was just kind of like just deadpan and didn't freak out, which is kind of a plus on her side. I've gotten really sick and tired of characters just freaking the fuck out and, you know, bitch slapping somebody in a comedic fashion, a la Lavina. The night they ran into, Tree Chopping McGee, that was kind of cool how he deforested the entire hill with one swipe. It really sets the whole, you know, they're as strong as a country kind of thing they're going with there. But then him kicking his ass was even better. So it shows promise.
I worry from some of the things I've seen in this episode and some of the times where I'm like, okay, I know he's Meliodas. Why is he playing coy? We all know in the end he's not going to play coy anyway. He just had to wait for her to start crying a bit and talk about how awesome he was. So while there are good things, there's a certain level of self-insertion here that I'm seeing. I am wary. I am not completely turned off, but I am wary. What do you give this out of 3 pie?
5.5.
I was going to give it 6. I don't get it. Again, you're expressing like you totally liked it more than me. But I'm the one giving it the 6. Then again, I'm the guy who said 5 is the average rating, right?
This is really just barely above average.
And that's why I'm giving it a 6. It's like, it kind of teetered on both sides of the fence and landed just barely on the inside for me. But 5.5 does that as well, so I'm willing to go with the average 5.75 on this one. I think you and I would both agree this is a yellow.
Yes.
Yet another show where our seating didn't quite represent its place, but really, we've been pretty on for most of them.
Yeah.
The real stragglers are Goguri Kukuri-san and Tribe Cool Crew, which just hit way above their weight.
And, I mean, really, we're still... Well, even Garo came out higher than we expected.
Agreed, it did. It did.
So, I mean, we're definitely seeing things shifting here, and it's going to be really interesting when we get to the end and realize just what the whole list became.
Oh, for sure, and we're going to go over that. We're going to go, this was seeded this, and this ended up being whatever. And I'll put together some stats as to how accurate we were.
Well, so far, we've been pretty accurate for our bottom.
Our bottom and our top have been pretty accurate. Except maybe Terraformars didn't deserve to be the number one seed. Especially what I've heard about it's being censored for us.
Well, censored for everybody.
Yeah, and that you have to find the uncensored ones.
Uncensored ones hasn't been actually brought out yet.
Boo fucking earns.
But there's the thing, though. The censored version is supposed to be aired on TV. It's the uncensored one they're going to air later.
I want my gore. I want my ultra violence, man.
I don't like when they start doing censored versions like that. Especially seeing as a number of these are being actually put on the late night Japanese anime stuff, which means that they can show gore and sexual content. So it doesn't make much sense
for us to get that, especially since this continent has proven it loves its violence.
It doesn't even make any sense for the Japanese audience because it's during that late night broadcast when they're allowed to do outright sketchy stuff.
Yep, yeah, but what do you do? Folks, thank you for watching it again. Next time, I suffer more.